This takes us to a second question. Where is this judgment going to transpire? And the short answer to that is this judgment is going to take place in heaven. If this judgment follows the rapture, which takes us to heaven, then it stands to reason that this judgment will transpire in heaven. It takes place during that 7-year time period in heaven when we are in the Father's house, as we talked about last night. And notice, if you will, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and notice, if you will, verse 17. It says, "Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the," what? In the air. It doesn't say on the earth. It says in the air. "And so we shall always be with the Lord." John 14 and verse 3, which we studied last night, Jesus says, "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." I mean, where is Jesus going? He's going to heaven. And therefore, this judgment, I believe, will take place in heaven. Let's see if I have my tribulation chart there. There's a basic tribulation chart. And by the way, do you know what the Revelation 8 mentions? Half hour of silence in heaven. Have you noticed that in the book of Revelation? You know what that's for? That's when we all readjust our tribulation charts a little bit. Because I don't think anybody has this down perfectly. Amen. So I'm going to say, wow, I thought that was going to take place over here, and I'll just get out my white out and kind of readjust my chart. And the Lord gives me a half an hour to kind of straighten things out. He tells me I got a B+ or a B-, etc. But you'll notice this is your standard tribulation chart. You see, before the 70th week begins, there's a rapture. And then you see the Lord returning at the end of the 70th week in what we call the second advent. And you can expect this judgment seat to take place in between those two events, in heaven, following the rapture. Now, doesn't that make sense when you consider that the nation of Israel is God's earthly people and the church is God's what? Heavenly people. Israel's judgment, as I'll show you in a little bit, takes place on the earth. Not so the church. The church's judgment takes place in heaven. So it's part of our heavenly identity corporately as members of the body of Christ. This takes us to question number 3. Who is going to be judged exactly? And you might take your Bible and flip back to 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. I know we were there a little earlier. I think we were there a little earlier, maybe not. But who is going to be judged? Short answer, all church-age believers are going to be judged at this point in time. You say, well, what do you mean by church-age believers? What's a church-age believer? A church-age believer is anybody who has trusted in Christ from the day of Pentecost until the rapture. If you have trusted in Christ during that unique time period, and we're still living in that time period now, amen? It's called the age of the church. It's been going on for the last 2,000 years. If you want to know what prophecies are being fulfilled today, you might want to jot down Matthew 16 and verse 18, where Jesus says, "I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it." It's a great building project of God, where internationally He is reaching out, primarily amongst the Gentiles, although many Jews get saved as well. And He is bringing them, by way of faith, through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, into this unique man called the Church of Jesus Christ, which is all over the world. I'm part of it. You're part of it. It's international. It's transnational. So who is going to be judged? All people who are part of this unique body called the body of Christ. You'll notice 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. Notice what Paul says here. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one of you may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. You see how Paul says we? Paul says, I myself am going to appear before this judgment seat of Christ. Paul is identifying with his audience. You see the word must there? This is not something you can opt out of. You know, you can't get a note from your doctor saying, I'm sick this week, I can't make it. I mean, this is what we would call mandatory. This is a mandatory judgment for every church age believer. And then he says all of us. Now, this is a very powerful lesson to the Corinthian church, because the Corinthian church was probably the most carnal church of the first century of which we have record. In fact, I think it was the late Ray Stedman that referred to 1 Corinthians as First Californians, the United States, if you know anything about our left coast, as I like to call it. And these were people that were being pulled into the world. I think they were saved. They're called saints at the beginning of the book. They're sure not acting very saintly, though. And they're just sort of in Christ, but they're wasting their lives. They're wandering back to the sin nature. And Paul is basically saying, you people need to wake up. And it's interesting, Paul doesn't challenge whether they're saved or not. A lot of preachers will dangle hell in front of you every single week to scare you into right living. Paul doesn't do that. He doesn't say you're going to hell. What he says is, do you not understand the Bema Seat judgment of Christ that is in your future? And he uses something from their own time period that they knew, the Bema Seat in Corinth, where decisions were made to inform them of this future judgment. It's interesting to me that the Apostle Paul doesn't just say this once, he says it twice. And if you go to the book of Romans, chapter 14 and verse 10, he says virtually the same thing. But why do you judge your brother? In other words, he's against hyper-judgmentalism in the body. Why do you judge your brother? Or you again, why do you regard your brother with contempt? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Notice the same descriptor. We, all of us, will. This is mandatory. And therefore, don't move into hyper-judgmentalism. God is going to ferret out a lot of things at this future judgment seat of Christ. So, journalistic question number 3, who exactly is going to be judged? The short answer to that is all church age believers, including me, including you, even including the Apostle Paul himself. Now, we get here to number 4, and this is probably the most important question. Why is this judgment going to take place? And a lot of people are very confused about this. So let's talk about why this judgment, first of all, is not for. There are certain things that will not happen at the Bema Seat judgment of Christ. There's at least 2 knots here. Number 1, the Bema Seat judgment of Christ is not there to judge us for sin. You say, well, why is that true? The moment you placed your personal faith in Jesus Christ for salvation is the moment your sin debt is covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? What did Jesus say in John 13:19, verse 30? It is what? It is finished. The Greek word that's used there is tetelestai. It's a word that's been found all over the Greco-Roman Empire, and it's an accounting term. What it literally means is paid in full. When someone's bill was paid, it was stamped there, tetelestai. And tetelestai is in the perfect tense in Greek. Tenses are very important. It means a one-time action with ongoing results.